May I ask the commissioners please to take their seats. Some of the brethren are standing along the aisles. Will you please come and take your seats? It is time for the sedarent to open. Can we come to order? This noon, we shall not begin our meeting with a song. The ladies are meeting up here and nearby, and it would be a little bit difficult. It would interrupt their work if we would begin with singing. And so we shall begin as soon as we can get order. We'll begin with prayer. There are some men still standing in the aisles. Will you please take your seats? Shall we begin with prayer? And I'll ask Dr. Donald Hoke if he will lead us in prayer, please. Number 7.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice in our fellowship in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace, that our disagreements, Lord, have been over principle, rooted in the Word of God, rather than either over personality or error. We thank you now that we can come again this afternoon. We hope to do the business of God. We ask thee again for the mind of Christ, which you have promised us, for submissive wills to hear and understand and receive what you have to say to us, and for, above all, our Father, the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon every decision that's made, that what we do here will be implemented by the Spirit's power through our lives and through our congregations in the days ahead. We pray again, our Father, for those of our number who are ill and could not be here. For we think particularly of Jim Patterson that was injured in that terrorist explosion in Columbia a few days ago. And for our brother Don Patterson who's down with his son there. We pray that this bitterness and this reign of terror in Columbia against missionaries may be stopped. And that the work of God may go forward there. Now we commit and submit ourselves to your guidance this afternoon through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen.
Amen. As I have said, the ladies are meeting in the room up to the left, and for some reason there seems to be considerable hum coming from that direction. I hope it won't interfere with the orderly process of the assembly. I take the occasion to say that there is often considerable hum coming from this part of the room, too. And if the commissioners who go up for coffee will please remember that the voices carry, it makes it very difficult for those at the balconies on each side to hear and for some of our people to hear. And may I plead with the men of the assembly, when they go for a coffee break, please remember to sip quietly. We return, I believe, at this point to the report of the committee of commissioners on mission to the world. Dr. Buswell, you have, I think, one more point to make.
Mr. Moderator, just before he starts, we had some confusion about one of the announcements on one of the commissions. It's case number 5, the matter dealing with Peace Church in Eastern Carolina. It's meeting in 122 in the library, not as announced on the screen in this building. 122. They need those members of that commission over there immediately.
Mr. Moderator? It has been requested by motion yesterday that the cooperative agreements be presented, which are new for the assembly to vote on. I'll do that, and in light of the several instructive statements that I might make. The Committee of Commissioners, Subcommittee, and the full committee spent a great deal of time looking into these cooperative agreements, has reviewed them, has come to a conclusion that we can pass on them already. Then you might find a sample of the kind of statement that's been in a handout. Page 832 happens to be in the cooperative agreement with Latin America, Latin America Committee of EFMA, but I cite it as just instruction of the kind of substance of agreement which is made with the missions of the world. You might see number 8 on page 832. The mission to the world missionary will have liberty in the full and free presentation of the gospel as contained and understood in the Reformed view, as contained in the Westminster Confession, the larger and shorter catechisms, recognizing that he must also respect the position of others in an interdenominational setting. That's the context, that's the flavor of this cooperative agreement approval. Each one of the doctrinal statements of these organizations has been scrutinized, and I will move now concerning 7, which are new, that we approve the cooperative agreement. Keep in mind, please, the distinction between approving the cooperative agreement and approving the total doctrinal statement of the organization with which we're cooperating. I think that's a very vital point to keep clear. We are not fully approving their doctrinal statement. We are approving the cooperative agreement after having scrutinized their doctrinal statement. I hope that that comes clear. So the first one I will move, that we approve the cooperative agreement with Evangelism Explosion 3.
You're taking these one by one?
Yes.
Been moved and seconded that the agreement with Evangelism Explosion number 3 be approved. Is there any objection or question on this matter? If not, it stands approved.
I'll move that we approve the cooperative agreement between Missions of the World and Slavic Gospel Association Incorporated.
The Slavic Gospel Corporation Association Incorporated. Again, any problems, questions? If not, it is approved.
I'll move approval between missions.
Excuse me? Was there an objection? Mike 6.
Mr. Moderator, Carl Bogue, Presbyterian Ascension. I did not wish to speak to the motion, but I would like an opportunity to vote. I did have objection.
If you had an objection, you will have an opportunity to vote. And if there is no further discussion, I'll put that to a vote. A moment. Microphone number 8.
Nelson Malkus. I'm a little bit confused about the statement that Dr. Buswell just made with regard to the agreements as they relate to the doctrinal statements. According to some of the material we have, apparently there was a question about one item of the doctrinal statement of the African Inland Mission. You just said that, well, we don't have to adopt the doctrinal statement, it's just an agreement. Well, then, why was the question raised with that particular item?
I think because all the information was not in, and it took a great deal of study to read over the correspondence, which finally issued in a NEP statement that we could fully agree with. But I don't know why the question was raised originally, to answer your question. I don't know why, but it was satisfied in the opinion of the Committee of Commissioners, and we'll be happy to read all of the correspondence before the Assembly if you desire.
Well, this was also true of Overseas Crusade, wasn't it? There was clarification that had to be made there.
And then they changed.
Yes. Well, in other words, the doctrinal statement does have something to do with whether or not have an agreement.
Right. Yes. Yes. I want to make that clear. The doctrinal statement is a very vital part of our approval of the cooperative agreement. But I think that's distinct from approving their doctrinal statement. That would mean every last item of their doctrinal statement. For example, one of the major points that we look at, obviously, is does faith precede or follow repentance and regeneration and so forth, that kind of thing. we're after. And that's been made clear.
Any further discussion? Number five. Mike five.
I have a question. Nick Protos from Ascension Presbytery. Mr. Malkus mentioned the Africa Inland Mission.
We're discussing the Slavic Association, are we not?
Yes.
Will
we be coming back to this? Is this on the agenda at all, this agreement?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it will be. It will be discussed later.
Can I speak later then?
Yes, you may. This particular question is the Slavic Association, and Mike 2.
Bert Hitchcock from the New Jersey Presbytery. I can't find that cooperative agreement. Can anyone help us where that is? What page this is on? For the Slavic
I'd like
Gospel
knowledge as to whether it was handed out or not. Was that handed out to the... No?
I guess not.
How can we approve something we haven't seen?
You have it there? You know the page number? Do you have it? Two handouts. Do you have a copy of it to read? We do not have it to hand out. We do have a copy of it to read. Could the agreement could be read rather quickly, I think, and would be about the same as the agreements of the others. In the words of Dr. Buswell's famous father, the others are like this, mutatis mutandis. Number 10.
Kennedy Smart, North Georgia Presbytery, with Mission to the World. The cooperative agreement with Slavic Gospel Association came as a handout to the Committee of Commissioners. It has not been prepared, I do not believe, as a handout to the entire assembly.
Right.
It has correspondence with it that also would need to be handed out. It was presented to the Committee of Commissioners on behalf of a young man who was applying to go to Poland under Slavic Gospel Association. He has not at this point come before the committee. It probably will be 6 months. I therefore would suggest, and I've already spoken and somebody else would have to make a motion, but I would suggest that approval of Slavic Gospel Association be delayed until another assembly. We do not have to approve that. There is no one serving under it. We were just asking for guidance, and I suggest that we not try to get the assembly to do something when they don't have the papers in front of them.
Is there a motion to that effect? We do not have the papers before you. It has been moved, seconded. Moved, seconded, that we delay till next assembly. Don't you have blanks that say so move on them? Then we would go ahead with the next one.
Is that motion to...
Excuse me.
Is that voted on?
That's not voted on yet. This motion has been made and seconded. Are you ready for the question? Those in favor of this delay, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered.
Moderator, I move that we approve the cooperative agreement between Mission to the World and Latin America Committee of EFMA.
Heard this motion? What page is that on? 831? Is that it? Page 831, Latin America Committee, Exhibit G, page 831. This is moved, and mic number two.
Mr. Moderator, Sam Larson from the Old Southern, now the Delmarva Presbytery. I just ask a question here. The Dr. Buswell a moment ago referred to item 8 on page 832, as an example, and your remarks a moment ago about all of these being more or less mutatis mutandis makes this particularly germane. My question is this. That last statement, for example, recognizing that he must also respect the position of others in an interdenominational setting. Now, that sounds very good and may very well be. My question is, for perhaps through you to Dr. Buswell, does this mean that that the individual has full prerogative of, for example, baptizing covenant children? Or does this mean if he's working with Baptist brethren, he refrains from that, which may be tantamount to rhetoric vice practice of his belief?
Mm-hmm. Could you answer the question, Dr. Buswell?
I suspect that Kennedy Smart would be more equipped to answer it. I would imagine, however, it's a situational answer.
Mr. Moderator, I will attempt to answer that question. If the missionary is ordained, if he is a teaching elder serving under a cooperative agreement where he does practice baptism, he is guaranteed the right of baptism by sprinkling and covenant baptism.
Thank you. Anything else? You ready to vote? Those in favor, please, this is the Latin American Mission, please say aye. Contrary? It is adopted. Next.
The cooperative agreement, I move that we approve the cooperative agreement between CIMA and Africa Inland Mission.
It is moved.
You'll find the doctrinal statement of Africa Inland Mission on page 814.
814, thank you. Any debate or questions? You're asking for mic number four? Mic number five was first.
Nick Protus from the Ascension Presbytery. I noticed that a letter by Mr. Kyle was written concerning Section 8. I have a question concerning Section 7, and that the death of Christ was for the sins of the whole world. I don't know that we agree with that. And are we accepting this as a doctrinal statement?
This is a doctrinal basis. You're quoting from 814.
I don't see how one of our missionaries could sign this.
This is the statement of the African Inland Mission, not the cooperative, agreement. Is that right?
Well, don't our missionaries have to sign this statement?
Why
was the letter written about Section 8 then? Why did Section 8 have to be cleared up by Mr. Kyle?
I'm not sure. Can someone, either Dr. Buswell or Dr. Smart, answer that question?
I have the letter here. The letter here from Peter Stamm, addressed to Mr. J. Kyle, raising the question on point 8. We have discussed the content of your letter here, and if acceptable to you, we authorize you to attach the following statements to the copies of our doctrinal statement that are signed by workers being seconded to us through your office. Due to certain ambiguities contained in point 8 of the above doctrinal statement, the African Inland Mission approves the attachment of the following statement as an acceptable interpretation of point 8. The necessity of the new birth as the work of God, the Holy Spirit, enabling sinners to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, so that men are saved by grace through faith, not by works.
I agree with that. I just think another letter should be written concerning Section 7, and that we shouldn't accept this until that is changed.
Well, this was an interpretation of 7, was it not?
No. Was there not a letter concerning Kennedy Smart? Was there not a letter concerning Point 7? I'm not certain.
I have to apologize for the fact that I was involved in a conversation over here, and I'm not sure which page you're on now.
Page 814, and the question is Section 7. Section 8 is satisfactorily expressed, but Section 7, could our men sign that? And the interpretive letter was read.
The reason that nothing was done on the Section 7 was two reasons in the office. One was that we felt that the statement in Section 8 sufficiently answered how the atonement is applied through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. And that if we were to raise a question about Section 7 as to whether Christ died for the sins of the whole world, we might appear to place ourselves in opposition to the teaching of God's Word in John 2:2, and might be appear to say to the world that we in the Presbyterian Church in America do not believe that the death of Christ was sufficient for all.
Thank you for that explanation. Number four, Mike.
My name is Bruce Howes, Delmarva. I have no problem with the statement of John 2:2, obviously. but I do have a problem with how they interpret this. This statement, as they would understand it, I believe, by the shedding of whose blood atonement was made for the sins of the whole world, at best is, I believe as they understand it, could be at best four-point Calvinism. I know we interpret this differently than they interpret it, but my point is that the way, and I believe the brother before me, the way they interpret it is quite different. So when they say Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, they mean something totally different than what we believe the scriptures teach concerning that.
Something further, Dr. Buswell?
Yes, I think that we have to regard the they as very ambiguous and uncertain. I happen to know that the general director of, or whatever his title may be, of Africa Inland Mission is a very strong Calvinist. He interprets it as we do. There probably are some within that organization, being wider than ours, who do not interpret it as we do. So the they assumes a meaningless category.
Dr. Hoke, Mike Seven.
Gentlemen, I served in interdenominational mission for a number of years, and I'm on the board of two others.
A little closer to them.
I'm on the board of two other interdenominational missions. The situation is, sir, that it seems to me we've approached the point of the ridiculous here. If we not only are discussing whether we can have a cooperative agreement, we go beyond that, do we agree with their doctrinal statement, and then we're going to say, but they may not interpret that the way we do. We're getting into the hermeneutics of an uninspired document, and we carry that on endlessly. There's no stopping point, and we'll never cooperate with anything or anybody. And I think we've got to stop with the words as they are and realize we're approving in a cooperative agreement with an old and established and reputable and widely used mission boards, and most of these are, and that we are not setting up for them or approving all they do, or are they approving all that we do.
Thank you. Further discussion? Can we come to the question? Those in favor of this approval, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? It is carried.
Moderator, I move the approval between SEMA and African Bible Colleges as a cooperative agreement.
Is that printed before?
Page 812 is their statement.
Page 812, you have heard the motion. Is there any objection, question to this one? If not, coming one to number nine, Mike Nine.
Steve Wilkins, Grace, Mississippi Valley Presbytery. Page 812, on the estate of man, the second sentence, those who thus move by the Spirit of God to receive Christ by faith have their sins forgiven, their hearts cleansed.
Closer to the mic, please.
Are born of the Spirit, become children of God, and are made new creatures in, I suppose that's to be in Christ. Now again, there does seem to be confusion over regeneration. It does say they are moved by the Spirit to receive Christ. However, as a result of receiving Christ, they are born of the Spirit. I think there's a clear confusion here that does need to be clarified.
Now, this is a question again of interpretation. Is there further debate? Are we ready to vote? Those in favor of adopting this approval, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? It is approved.
Move approval of the cooperative agreement between the Language Institute for Evangelism. Should be Evangelism, IFM.
What page?
SEMA and Language Institute for Evangelism.
What page? You have it?
Page
819 is the page, we believe.
Page 819, 820.
You have it before you. Are there questions, discussion? I see no one approaching. If not, this is approved.
Move approval of the cooperative agreement between SEMA and HELPS Incorporated.
Anybody know where that is?
832. It's been moved. Any discussion? You're seeking mic number 3.
Greg Brookins, Evangel Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I'd like to propose a substitute motion, if I may.
That's your motion.
I move to postpone for 1 year any consideration of the cooperative agreement with Helps International Ministries, and that the Permanent Committee on Mission to the World investigate further the doctrinal beliefs of Helps International Ministries.
This has been moved. Is it seconded? Been moved and seconded. Would you care to speak for it?
Yes, sir. The question I have stems from the explanatory letter from the president of Helps International Ministries, basically where he says, and I quote, Helps International Ministries recognizes the covenant relationship of the child until he reaches the age of accountability. My reasons are this. I don't know that the age of accountability is taught in Scripture. Second, the age of accountability implies that a child's sins are excused until that mystical age is reached. Third, it also implies that a child loses the salvation, if indeed they are saved, when they reach that mystical age of accountability. And I don't find it in the Scripture. I also think that this is contrary to the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 6, Section 3 and 6. And so I would like to, in a sense, postpone until further investigation can go on into the doctrinal beliefs. Obviously, this belief does not coincide with point 6 of their own statement of faith. And now the intention of my motion is not to counsel necessarily the work, but just simply suspend the approval.
Would you read those pertinent words again in the letter for us?
Okay. The letter by the president is in the third paragraph.
That's right. It's down here on page 834. It is already printed and is before you.
Although him believes in dedication of infants without infant baptism, we realize some believers do believe in having their infants baptized, and although this is not conversion, it recognizes the covenant relationship of the child until he reaches the age of accountability.
Any further debate on this matter? I don't know the further point of information. Do you have any further comments, Mr. Buswell? Dr. Buswell? No. You have the matter before you. The motion is that this be delayed for another year until further investigation may be made. There was investigation and there was correspondence. That correspondence is before you. So, are you ready to vote? Those in favor of making this of the amendment, which is to delay for a year, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against, nay.
Nay.
I think that calls for a division. Division has been called for. Those in favor of the amendment, which means delay, please rise and be counted.
May I make an important call? Reverend Jim Workman, report immediately to Library L-122 for the judicial case that is in progress. Jim Workman, L-122.
And let me also announce, we have now the printed up supplements to the handbook, and what we are suggesting is that you remain in your seats and let the pages distribute them to you during the proceedings here in as quiet a way as possible. Raise your hand as they come down the aisle and they'll try to get you a set of these supplements. We need to thank the printing office of the Christian Reformed Church or Calvin College for their excellent job of producing this piece of work.
Please be seated. Now the distribution can progress slowly. Yes, but I'm saying I think we had better take the no vote without distribution for the moment. If the pages will interrupt their work, those against the amendment, that is against postponement, please rise. Now, while you're up, the pages, I guess, are busy counting. Yeah. This is the last one?
Okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And where do we go from here?
Now with the judicial decision.
Yeah.
I think we've got two questions.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's a partial report, the judicial commission.
That's answer to a constitutional question.
Yes. You may be seated, please. You may be seated and distribution can continue. Mr. Moderator, the next item of business will be the report of the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business on two constitutional questions they are ready to report on.
One moment, I have the amendment.
The amendment lost. The vote for was 237. The vote against was 245. That is 50% plus one. That means that the amendment has failed, and now we are ready to vote on the motion, the unamended motion, which was to proceed with this, to adopt this relationship. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
That's pretty close to call. I think I'll have to ask for the ayes to rise and be counted. Those who favor making the agreement. I expect to be just about the same, yes. It could be, it is a different question, however. I guess I don't need this. I'd like to have a little bit of theological discussion on some of these things. I don't believe the faith precedes regeneration. I don't think John Murray believes it.
I'm glad to see that thing rising from the side.
Yeah, but I'd like to see a little bit of the substance question and answer.
Yeah.
If faith precedes regeneration, you've got some people believe without being regenerated yet. You may be seated.
Well, I'm glad to see that one feel like
so. Well, that's true. That's good. And after all, there is that verse that does say, "Thy sign to the whole world." Pardon? I'm sorry, it's my mistake. The vote in favor has been taken. Those opposed now must rise and be counted. Thank you for telling me. I didn't rule gathering or something.
I think you can look at it and see that it's passed. So
yes. Are you satisfied to say that by an aye vote that it has passed? If there's no challenge on that, we'll not proceed with the counting. We'll declare that passed, and I believe that concludes the report at this time. And there are a few items that were delayed, which will come up at a later time. And so now we're ready to proceed to other business. And as has been mentioned, we turn to the report of the Permanent Judicial Commission on some of the constitutional questions referred to it. It has not been handed out, so we must proceed to the handing out. The others, I think, have been finished. We're now handing out page 61, a yellow page 61, on the material that is straight in front of us, that is before us.
Heard my name.
Couldn't we put all of these people on computer and get this done like that? Each one of them had a computer terminal. I guess they can do that in Congress, don't they? They have a push a button and have their vote taken and all. What page of our book does this refer to?
Page 61, and now what are you...
What page does this refer to? Off of what page? Interchurch relations.
What page?
Interchurch relations. Number E.
Page 545, I believe.
545. We will proceed in a moment to the... A partial report of the subcommittee on judicial business, and this report is being handed out to you, and it refers to an item that appears on your page 542, so you might want to keep 542 in mind, as well as the page that is just being handed out, number 61. Are we ready to... distribution continues sufficiently. I think we are ready to begin. Let us pray. Our Lord God in heaven, we do need more order. Mic number 9, I believe, is... I'm sorry. You're leading in prayer for it.
Our Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee again for the opportunity to be Your servant. And we call upon Thee to lead and direct us now in the deliberation of this business. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. And will you introduce it, give us the advice?
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, I call your attention to page 61, which is the constitutional advice of the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business. There are two items of business on it. I will read through it and then come back to the opinions seriatim. Item 1, the Subcommittee on Judicial Business was directed to respond to a question from Teaching Elder David Dively regarding Recommendation Number 8 of the Report of the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations concerning the method of receiving under its jurisdiction other ecclesiastical bodies according to Book of Church Order 14-6. It is the opinion of the Subcommittee on Judicial Business that Book of Church Order 14-6 does not specify whether the Presbytery shall vote before General Assembly votes or the General Assembly before the Presbyteries. Therefore, either procedure is constitutional. If the General Assembly desires to request the Presbyteries to vote before the General Assembly votes, it must direct the stated clerk to request the Presbyteries to vote on the following overture: that blank Presbytery overtures the 11th General Assembly to extend an invitation to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church to effect and perfect one church under the Constitution of the PCA. 3/4 of the Presbyteries must adopt the overture in order for the 11th General Assembly to act on an invitation to the OPC. Item 2. The subcommittee was also directed to answer the following question of teaching elders David Frazier. I think that's a misprint. It's Richard Frazier, Dick Frazier, and William B. Leonard. Does Book of Church Order 10-6 intend that presbyteries defray the expenses of their teaching elder members upon their attendance of General Assembly? It is the opinion of the Subcommittee on Judicial Business that while ministers are members not only of presbyteries, Book of Church Order 13-2 and 14-2, but may also be members of sessions, Book of Church Order 12-1. In that Book of Church Order 10-6 refers not to membership, but to representation. It is the opinion of the Subcommittee on Judicial Business that the expenses of ministers in attendance at General Assembly shall be defrayed by the presbyteries of which they are members. Mr. Moderator, back to item one. The Subcommittee on Judicial Business recommends the adoption of this opinion. If I may make a brief statement regarding it, explanation.
Proceed.
I realize that the overture is identified with reference to a direct denomination and perhaps was an oversight of the subcommittee because the question was put in the general form. However, I believe that it had direct reference to the invitation to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church.
Shall we not consider the second paragraph by itself, the opinion, and adopt that, and then proceed to the third paragraph? Would that be appropriate?
Yes, sir, that would be appropriate.
The second paragraph states the opinion of the subcommittee. Shall we adopt this opinion as the opinion of the assembly? That's the thing to do. Is there any question, objection to this opinion as given? I see no one looking for the mic. That means item 1, paragraph 2 on page 61, I declare it adopted. And then number 3.
Mr. Moderator, the application of the opinion, therefore, would be left to the pleasure of the Assembly during the report of the Interchurch Relations Committee.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Shall we turn first to the second opinion and then come back to the question of whether or not we want to direct the presbyteries at this time or request the presbyteries at this time? Shall we consider the second opinion now?
Mr. Moderator, the Subcommittee on Judicial Business recommends the second opinion with this explanation. The General Assembly requested us to interpret the Book of Church Order. The committee wrestled with this, and we recognize the fact that it goes in the face of nearly 10 years of practice. But again, you asked us to interpret what the Book of Church Order says, and we tried to put it in to the Book of Church Order. I call your attention to 10-6, if you'll read that carefully, and if the assembly wishes to, we can call your attention to that. But we could not force the present practice into the wording of 10-6, and therefore our opinion is presented to you.
We have the opinion presented to us. The question is, shall the opinion be adopted? And I see no one seeking to discuss or question. One at mic 6.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Irwin Morrison, Philadelphia Presbytery. I would hope we would not adopt this. I have a bit of a problem with it in a presbytery like ours, where before joining receiving, we have 12 churches and 32, give or take a few, teaching elders. If I understand what's happening in our presbytery, the contributions that are given to the presbytery come almost unanimously from the churches. So what we're saying is that our 12 churches, in fact, then are going to underwrite at least a portion of expenses for 32 teaching elders to attend General Assembly. After joining and receiving, we'll be 28 churches with about 85 teaching elders. Now, I see that as a real problem for some of us and some of these unbalanced presbyteries.
I am checked to the idea that any of our presbyteries are unbalanced.
Otherwise, we... Mike 2.
Mr. Moderator, I'm here as a representative of my church. The Presbytery had nothing to do with sending me here. And that's the way it has been, and I think that we should continue it that way. The Presbytery didn't approve me. They didn't... my church. And I suspect that most of the commissioners here are on that same basis. My church nominated me and elected me to come to this General Assembly, and they're financing me.
Mr. Moderator?
I recognize number 8, Mike Baird.
Mm-hmm. Moderator Jim Baird, Southern Florida. I just wanted a second. That was my same argument, and I hope that we vote this down. It is totally impractical. Let's take a different opinion.
Number 6, Mike 6.
Charles McNutt, Near River Presbytery. When our denomination was formed, the PCA originally, we looked to Charles Donahue and probably Jack Williamson as authorities on the BCO, and I just cannot believe they would have let us go on for 10 years in something that was clearly understood to be contrary to both church order. And it would ruin our presbytery. We have a small presbytery. Just might as well fold up our home mission work. And I would like to hear a response from one of them, because I cannot think they would not have called this to our attention if this had been the original interpretation.
Another one was asking for the number, Mike 6. On which side is this? I'm not sure. Mike, number 6.
Yeah, Mr. Moderator, John Ragland from Grace Presbytery. Seems to me that we're clouding the issue here. It's a matter of what we would like it to be or what do we think is practical. The question that is facing us is, what does the Book of Church Order say? And I think you read 10:6, no matter what your heart might lead you to wish it would say, it's saying what the interpretation is that's been given to us. And it seems to me that if we disagree with what the Book of Church Order is saying, then we should, by the process of amending the Book of Church Order, amend it to say what we want it to say. Well, let's not play games with it and try to make it say something it's not saying simply because we don't like what it's saying.
Mm-hmm. The suggestion about amending is the Book of Church Order has not been made as a motion as yet, however. And Mike 7.
Bob Shu from Mid-Atlantic. I don't think the book needs to be amended. I think the Judicial Committee is in error in their interpretation. What the Book of Church Order says is to be defrayed by the bodies which they respectively represent. In the opinion we've been given, it says defrayed by the presbyteries which they are members. So that's just completely different language. It's pretty clear that the Book of Church Order says that those, the body which we represent, which is the local church, defrays the expenses. It has nothing to do with membership, and the Judicial Committee has simply erred. And I would urge that we vote this opinion down, as it is in error with the Book of Church Order.
You have heard the debate further. Mike 6.
Mr. Moderator, Carl Bogue, Presbytery of the Ascension. I would echo the plea of a previous speaker that whether or not the opinion is accurate is before us, but please let's not put a false interpretation of the Book of Church Order to go with our practice. There are ways of changing the Book of Church Order if we want to, but let's decide this on the merits of it and not on what our practice is.
Mike 9.
Mr. Moderator, Alan Story, Evangel Presbytery. We've been talking about the Book of Church Order. It does say in 12-1 that the church session consists of the pastor, associate pastors, if there be any, and the ruling elders of a church. So that being members of that, as well as we also know of the presbytery, there's a sense in which we represent both, but certainly we at least do represent our church sessions as teaching elders.
Mike 3, I believe.
Can I defer to number 10, who's been standing there longer than I have?
Number 10, sorry.
Mr. Moderator, Frank Moser, Ascension Presbytery. I would move you, sir, that we refer this matter back to the committee, permanent subcommittee on judicial business, for preparation of appropriate language to amend the Book of Church Order to make this crystal clear, that the policy continue to be the policy that has been in practice, whether correctly so or not.
And moved and seconded that the policy as we have it be continued, and that it be referred to the Book of Church, to the committee for to prepare possible and so on. Possible change of the Book of Church Order to make it crystal clear. You've heard that motion and been moved and seconded regularly. Would you speak on that motion, Dr. McNair? Number two.
McNair, St. Louis Presbytery. I speak against it because I believe that the Section 10.6 is explicit and clear, but we are misunderstanding one of the words. As I read it, it says, shall be defrayed by the bodies which they respectively represent. And we are presuming that that word bodies only means courts of the church. It could well mean theological seminaries, mission boards, etc. The word bodies is not limited, as I understand it, simply to the courts of the church. I think the explicit statement is here as it stands.
You are objecting to the amendment. Are you speaking on the amendment, number seven?
I rise to call the question, sir.
Identify yourself, please.
Jim Campbell, Central Georgia Presbytery.
Now, is that required for us to put the... The motion is, we say, whether it will be called. Yes. Those in favor of putting the question, that's it. Those in favor of putting the question, this requires two-thirds vote? Yes. Those favoring putting the question, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. It passes by two-thirds vote. Question is... to refer to a committee, right? I must put this for a vote. What is the point? The point of order? Yes.
Alan Crumbaker, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I think we've been debating the wrong part of the Book of Church Order, and I think as an information order, we ought to get the correct one on record here for the purposes of correctly voting. May I make a reference just to the paragraph, sir? I don't need to read it.
Okay.
It's in chapter 14, paragraph 2, and if the commissioners would note that, it may help them with their understanding.
14.2. Now, does the committee have a right to speak? It does. If you're not scared, sir, do you want to speak on the matter, the final word?
I'm not opposed to the motion.
Uh-huh.
Well,
go ahead and put the motion. The subcommittee has a right to speak, but foregoes that right. Are you, we'll put the motion. Those in favor of the amendment as it was presented, this is to commit and so on, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay.
Nay.
I think I would rule that it fails. Division? Division called for? Okay, let's take a standing vote and see if we can decide. Those in favor of referring to a committee, shall we rise? Thank you. Sit down. Those opposed, please say, please rise. Looks to me as if it did not pass. I would rule again that it did not pass, unless that is challenged. Number eight, Mike Eight.
Mr. Moderator, Don Clements, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I move to amend the opinion in the last line to read, shall be defrayed by the sessions, comma, presbyteries, comma, or agencies which they represent. I don't think it needs any discussion at this point, Mr. Moderator, if it gets a second.
You have heard this motion to amend, by adding these other words. Those who would like to discuss the amendment, no one rises to discuss the amendment. Microphone six.
Bailey Cadman, Ascension Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, may we amend an opinion?
In adopting the opinion, I would say yes, we may. Yes. Number five.
Rick Canada, Covenant Presbytery. My concern with this amendment is that it may still cause the problem many of us were concerned about earlier. If we say that the ministers shall have their expenses defrayed by the sessions or the presbyteries or the other bodies that they represent, it may be still as I'm seeing that language, that those teaching elders who are not serving in a congregation would still have to have their expenses paid by a presbytery. And it leaves it unclear that congregations in that presbytery may still have to support teaching elders that are not in a pastoral charge.
You have heard
I'd like to know if that's the intention of the one who made this amendment.
You have heard the motion, you heard the speech against. So another speech, Mr. Doctor. Number two, Mike Two.
Ms. Moderator Aiken Taylor, Western Carolina's Presbytery, would not the maker of the motion agree, without a great deal of controversy, to make that should instead of shall?
That's moderated.
Shall is so unexceptional, and should is a general order that isn't just mandatory.
Time of debate has come to an end. Do you favor extending the time 5 minutes on this question? Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary? The ayes have it. There was someone, the question was, the maker of the motion, would you be willing to change the shall to should?
Mr. Moderator, Don Clemens, and I think I'd be very happy to make that a should.
Thank you. The amendment then is before you, and I see no one speaking on the amendment. Number six wants to speak. Number three speaking on the amendment.
Mr. Moderator, yes, Alan Crumbaker, Mid-Atlantic again, sir. Now that we are discussing the direct item, as to who should defray the expenses, I speak against the motion as presently formulated because it, first of all, does not speak to those teaching elders of our presbyteries who presently have no charge, who may want to be here. Secondly, sir, I think it brings up a point that I don't think we can easily resolve, in that we talk about having a grassroots assembly here. But the count given to us by the stated clerk tells us that for every ruling elder, we have two teaching elders here. The problem is not easy soluble. I would speak against the present motion to amend with the specificity and just add as an item of historical note that to the degree available funds were there in the RPCES, the expenses were defrayed as a synod-wide, or as and you might say the General Assembly-wide endeavor. So I'm not sure we've got an easy way today to come up with a better answer, but I don't want to rush into this one.
Thank you. Our time is going. Number six. Mike Six.
Byron Snap, Calvary Presbytery. Book of Church Order 12.5 lists there the responsibilities of the session. And one of those responsibilities of the session is to appoint representatives to the higher courts who shall, on their return, make report of their diligence. No teaching elder here was appointed by their session to attend. We have ruling elders that are appointed to represent the local church. 14-2 of the Book of Church Order points out, as has already been mentioned, that teaching elders, when the General Assembly is meets, it consists of teaching elders in good standing with their presbytery and ruling elders from the congregation. And I'm not sure how the amendment, to me, this is the only two bodies that are mentioned in the Book of Church Order. And I have a question about how the amendment would fit in with what the Book of Church Order says.
Thank you. Amendment is before us. Number six, one more speech.
Mr.
5 minutes are going fast.
Not a speech, please. A point of order, or at least a question for your interpretation, sir. Would you rule on whether this amendment does not have the effect of amending the Book of Church Order without going through the constitutional process to do so?
My ruling would be that this amendment is a is an interpretation of the Book of Church Order and does not require amendment. On the other hand, one could indeed feel that the Book of Church Order could in time be amended to be more clear.
Those ready for vote for the amendment to the addition of these three words, I believe. Those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed to the amendment, nay.
No.
The nays have it. The opinion is before us, unamended. And are we ready to vote on the opinion? Those in favor of adopting the opinion, please say aye. Those against adopting opinion, say nay.
Nay.
The opinion is lost. What happens now is another matter. We have no opinion. The force of this, I'm not sure. I hope all the brethren have their checkbooks with them. Now, what is before the House?
Mr. Moderator, having had that opinion regarding the matter of the question about what was the invitation to the OPC, I think you ought to call the chairman of the Interchurch Relations Committee back and let him present that matter to us. And that's Mr. Justly.
Dr. Pett at Mike 8 is seeking the floor. Yes, for
Mark Pett from the Delmarva Presbytery. Not being quite used to the speed with which things move through this assembly, I was not quite prepared to respond to this first opinion, and I am concerned about an interpretation of the second paragraph in the fourth paragraph of this interpretation. It says there, 3/4 of the presbyteries must adopt the overture in order for the 11th General Assembly to act on an invitation. What in essence we are doing, one General Assembly is binding a second in saying that it cannot respond to an overture. I believe that that is an inappropriate interpretation of any book of order within the Presbyterian system. What I would like to know as a point of information is whether that fourth paragraph is binding on the second paragraph interpretation.
Mr. Hathaway, would you like to respond to that?
Mr. Moderator, the Subcommittee on Judicial Business was taking into notice the requirement of the Book of Church Order that 3/4 of the presbyteries are necessary to extend an invitation. Certainly, a General Assembly could act on one overture. However, the invitation could not be extended unless 3/4 of them did it. Now, if that General Assembly voted to extend an invitation and 3/4 had not acted, then it would have to go back to the presbyteries and you would be in the old, the other system that we had followed previously.
Very good. Now, we're at that third paragraph now, are we not? Yes, Mr. Clark.
Mr. Moderator, just a matter of delegates and the voting. I have turned over to Dr. Smith the delegates that have been appropriately validated from the old RPCES session. I simply want to remind our brothers that only those ruling elders who have been delegated and certified by their sessions are to be voting in this assembly. Just a reminder once again that we are under slightly different rules from the RP General Synod.
I believe where we are is that the third paragraph on page 61 is not part of the opinion that we have adopted, but that simply shows us what we must do if we want to do what was once proposed. And that was proposed on page 542. Page 542, if you look at that point, there was something from the Interchurch Committee. And our debate now is on number 8 on page 542, and we now have the opinion of the of how to go about this. So will you take on, please?
Mr. Moderator, David Justly, Mississippi Valley Presbytery. The item now that we are dealing with is item number 8 on the Interchurch Relationship Committee, page 542. Page 542 in your notebook. We have dealt with all the other matters of this report, and number 8 was referred to the Judicial Committee that just reported, which said in essence that number 8 can be done. And so at this time, Mr. Moderator, for the sake of discussion and bringing this back up to the General Assembly, the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations would like to move you the adoption of recommendation number 8 of its report.
This is before us. Number 8 on page 42 has been moved for adoption that future relations with the OPC be referred to the Permit Committee.
No, sir.
Pardon? No?
I'll read it if you'd like me to, sir.
Read it.
That the future relations with the OPC be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations, and that the General Assembly ask the presbyteries to consent to an invitation by the 11th General Assembly, if the way be clear, to the OPC to effect and perfect one church under the Constitution of the PCA.
May I ask for a point of information? You're asking the presbyteries, and if the presbyteries accept by a 3/4 vote, then the General Assembly could finish the business. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, several have asked for the microphones. Number 8 is more distant. Mike 8.
Max Harris, New River Presbytery. Just a point of information to clarify what you just said. Would there be another vote at the 11th General Assembly, or would this that we're doing now be the only vote that the General Assembly would take, and then if 3/4 approve it, it's done?
This General Assembly will not take a vote on extending an invitation to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. This General Assembly will simply vote to send this matter to the presbyteries, who will or will not approve it by a 3/4 vote, and then bring it back to the next General Assembly that will take a vote or not take a vote.
Because I understood Aiken Taylor, when he spoke to this issue, to say quite the opposite. Now, I may be wrong. I understood him to say that we could do the cart before the horse, and that we're now voting on the cart, and then the horse would come, and that would be it.
This recommendation is saying that we're asking the presbyteries to consent to an invitation
that we would then vote on at the 11th Assembly.
That we would then vote on at the 11th Assembly or not vote on.
Thank you for the clarification. Number 7.
Jim Campbell, Central Georgia Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, we've just voted that we may send it to the presbyteries first. I believe that, as was stated earlier, this is putting the cart before the horse. How shall one arise to battle without knowing a call for battle from a distinct, clear bugle call? I believe that we, as a General Assembly, should discuss this matter thoroughly and openly and give direction to the presbyteries before we send it back on something so grave. I believe that we should defeat this motion.
This motion, of course, brings it up for debate. Mike, number 10.
Mr. Moderator, Mickey Bolas from Central Georgia Presbytery. The chairman of the committee is saying that if we follow this procedure, next year we may or may not vote. I'm not quite clear on what he means. It would seem to me that if the presbyteries are allowed to cast their votes and they vote in the right percentages, that next year's assembly would either say yay or nay through some sort of vote on that issue. It would have to come up on the floor of the assembly, would it not?
I think that was the idea, may or may not vote positively.
Yes, that's what I meant. I meant that they would have to respond to it, but they may or may not respond to. The presbyteries would be overturning the General Assembly. The General Assembly, yes, would take a vote.
May I ask the point of clarification while I have the mic? Is this then, and I think it is from what I'm hearing, saying that the presbyteries may vote and then the Assembly come back and vote next year, but it's not following the same procedure we followed in our joining and receiving this time?
That is correct. It's reversing the order.
Thank you. That's why I'm against it.
Okay. Yes. Number 2, I believe.
Mr. Moderator, I have a substitute motion I'd like to offer to put the horse before the cart. My motion is this. I move that the new and improved Presbyterian Church in America extend an invitation of joining and receiving to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the same form and substance as it was by the 9th General Assembly to the end that one church might be unified and perfected among us by the 11th General Assembly. Thomas K. Warrior Presbytery.
Been moved and seconded. You have heard the motion.
May I speak to it?
You may.
Mr. Moderator, I too am a member of the Committee of Commissioners on Interchurch Relations, and I voted for Recommendation 8. That was before you, before I brought in the substitute. Since then, however, I've talked to some of my good friends in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and others. And I believe that there is a weakness in number 8. It's already been demonstrated that there's confusion about it. But if we take the decisive step which is envisioned in this motion with a resounding affirmative vote, it would go a long way in overcoming the weakness and failure to get this through last year. And so I am in a much more optimistic frame of mind than some of those who spoke yesterday, pointing up some of the fears and problems they thought might arise from such actions as this. But much of what we're hearing is shrouded in myth, mystery, and mystique, and I urge that the members of the court give a responding and positive vote to this motion.
A point of order?
Just a question on a point of order. Isn't this reintroducing something we voted down already?
Yes.
We took action on a resolution, personal resolution number 2, and that was voted down, and this is the same. The substance is the same as that personal resolution.
On page 545. Greenland. Further on the point of order?
Yes. Mr. Moderator, there's not one whereas in this motion. That had a lot of statements that began with whereas, and it is not the same motion.
I would believe that I must rule that it is the same motion. The whereases are not voted on, that the recommendation that is voted on, the therefores, and the therefore does seem to be what we have voted down. It would be possible to reconsider. Somebody who voted before on that side could move to reconsider, but I believe it would take a reconsideration in order to put that motion on the floor. That would be my recommendation, my decision. Parliamentarian seems to agree. He does agree. So that motion, in that form, I would rule out of order. Number 7 has been trying to get the mic.
Are we back to the main motion before?
Yes, we're back to the...
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
The one that's printed?
I move the new... Yes, we're back to the one that is printed, number 8. That was the one that was delayed and is now before us again.
Dick Harris, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. We're asking the presbyteries to do something they've already done. They have said no, so has the OPC said no. I don't think that we should ride a dead horse. I think we should defeat that and get on about the business of the church.
This is a speech against adopting number 8. Number 4, Mike, number 4, do you speak on number 8 on the matter before us?
Mr. Moderator, Bob Raymond, Ileana Presbytery. I would like to move that we suspend the time frame of every 10 minutes, and I would move that we give 30 minutes to a discussion of this issue.
Second. It is moved and seconded that we allow 30 minutes for the discussion of this issue. It is before you. Those who would favor extending the time on this to 30 minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay.
Nay.
The answer is no. We will do the usual thing. Time is not quite up yet. Number 4 again on the mic. Excuse me. I believe number 4 was waiting before. A point of order, number 10.
Would you rule on a point of order for us, please?
I'll try. You give us the point.
Okay. The Book of Church Order, paragraph chapter 26, paragraph 4, would you rule whether or not the motion before us is in contradiction to this provision of the Book of Church Order?
Will you read the provision?
the approval of, full organic and union and consolidation of the Presbyterian Church in America with any other ecclesiastical body can be effected only in the following manner: the approval of the proposed union by three-fourths of those present and voting in General Assembly, and its recommendation to the Presbytery, the advice and consent of three-fourths of the Presbyteries, and the approval and consummation by a subsequent General Assembly by three-fourths vote of those present in voting. Does the motion on the floor violate that provision of the Book of Church Order?
I would rule that it does not, because the motion before us is in the direction of a joining and receiving provision. And that joining and receiving provision is not the same as the merger provision which you just read. I would argue that this is intended, at least, and I believe does, come under the provisions by which the RPCES was taken in. Now, that'd be my ruling. Is that
arose by any other name?
That's right, by any other name, right or wrong. If it's 50% plus one, it's right.
Mr. Moderator, Frank Barkey, Evangel, I'd like to challenge your ruling on that. I really believe this violates the spirit of that, if not the letter of it, and I'd like to appeal to the Assembly.
You heard my ruling. Is the ruling plain? It has been challenged. The ruling was that the provisions that we are voting on in 8 are similar to those of the JNR we've just had. The ruling has been challenged. Yes?
This is an opinion that was given about that very matter.
It is suggested that I read an opinion here, right here, question one. This one? This one.
This one is it.
The question: does an invitation from the General Assembly to other ecclesiastical bodies require three-fourths vote of the Presbytery in order to be issued on the assumption that an invitation presupposes receipt? A response. Response, the important thing. The BCO does not speak to the issue of extending an invitation to other ecclesiastical bodies, but it does speak very clearly to receiving other receiving other ecclesiastical bodies. The opinion of the subcommittee, the invitation could be extended by the General Assembly without Presbytery consent, but that in doing so, the General Assembly should remind those ecclesiastical bodies that their reception would be contingent upon the consent of three-fourths of the Presbyteries of the PCA. This is in the Journal last year, page 81. Eighth General Assembly, page 81. Now, the question is, will the chair be sustained in this ruling? I guess the ruling is clear, and also the challenge. Those in favor of sustaining the ruling of the chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary?
No.
The ayes have it. I'm glad to. I hope not to be prejudiced in that. Thank you. Mic number 4, I believe, was required.
Mr. Moderator, Paul Taylor from St. Louis Presbytery. I think we need more time, so I'm speaking against the motion that's before us. I think we, as the PCA, need some time to get our house back in order, let our presbyteries be reorganized, reconstituted, rearranged, and all the rest of it. We need a little bit of time to see if we like the JNR as much as we think that we do, before we go ahead and ask for another one. And then secondly, I think the OPC needs a little bit more time. They need time to watch what happens among us for a year or so. And then if they have an invitation extended to them, they'll have a little bit better basis on which to decide too. So we need more time. They need more time. Let's slow down just a little bit, and I urge that we defeat this.
Number 9, mic number 9.
Paul McHenry, Gulf Coast. Mr. Moderator, I move that we suspend the rules forbidding the Brothers Amendment from Aliceville. That's a non-debatable motion that requires two-thirds of this body to vote on.
I didn't get that. What?
I didn't get that motion.
Suspend the rules so we can vote on which motion?
The amendment that was presented from our brother from Aliceville.
Suspend the rules. I would rule that out of order too. To suspend the rules would itself, of course, require a two-thirds vote. But to suspend the rules so that we can do something that is contrary to, that is out of order, not just out of order in our rules, but out of order in general. A negative motion, you don't do that. If you want to do what you wish to accomplish, the thing to do is to do it by reconsideration. That's the point. You can do what you want to do, but it should be by reconsideration.
All right. I'll accept that. Mr. Moderator, I move to reconsider the motion.
Mr. Moderator, time has lapsed on the whole. Time has lapsed on the vote. Those who favor an extension of 10 minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary?
So,
I believe it was negative. Okay. Can we try again? Those in favor of a 5-minute extension, please say aye. Can I get that?
Aye.
Contrary, no.
Oh.
I believe the ayes have that. 5 minutes. You challenge me, it'll take an extra 5 minutes. It has been moved to reconsider. The person who moved to reconsider must have voted with the majority before. I assume that is the case. Been moved to reconsider, that requires a 2-thirds vote. And, yes?
I'm Josiah Bancroft from Louisiana.
Yes.
And doesn't the move to reconsider have to be done on the same day or the next calendar day from the original vote? And wasn't this vote taken earlier than that?
If it has a 2-thirds vote, I don't think so.
I believe it does, even with a 2-thirds vote.
I'm told it was only yesterday, so it seems like more. Okay. Yes. The motion was to reconsider. Are we ready to vote whether or not to reconsider the motion that was made by Teaching Elder David R. Dively yesterday morning? I assume that he did. I asked and I got no response. Certainly somebody would be willing to anyhow. If we work hard. Those in favor of the reconsideration, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
It certainly did not get a 2-thirds vote. Therefore, we are where we were.
Back to number 8.
Yes, we're back on number 8. Mr. McNair, number 2. Mike, number 2.
I really believe it only takes a majority.
Well, it lost a majority, even a majority. A division on the reconsideration, is that called for? I really think it was clear. I do not hear that called for. Our time is going. Shall we consider? The matter before us is number 8, and no amendment has been made, no amendment to delay or anything. And so if we're ready to vote on number 8, and number 3, Mike, number 3.
Mr. Moderator, if it's in order, I'd like to make a suggestion amendment. Mr. Broadwater, Reverend Broadwater from Delmarva Presbytery. I'd like to make an amendment for number 8 to read that this General Assembly ask the presbyteries to reconsider extending an invitation to the OPC to effect and perfect one church under the Constitution of the PCA, and if passed, to be voted upon at the 12th General Assembly.
The presbyteries to reconsider, have they taken action? You're asking the presbyteries to reconsider?
I'm not real familiar with what all transpired last year, but I would like to see the presbyteries be asked to think it through again.
Well, the presbyteries didn't all take it through. As I understand it, this would be out of order because the presbyteries have not all considered it.
Okay,
we have one overture before us.
So then the word would read, asked to consider.
Ask the presbyteries to consider, but isn't that the force of number 8?
Well, the force of number 8 seems to be stronger to me because it says ask the prairies to consent
to an invitation.
To an invitation, which seems to me to be biased.
You can, if you want to, make a motion then to change consent to consider. This is the language of the Book of Church Order. If the presbytery action is to be meaningful, it should have that word in there, I would think. I would call your motion as made out of order, sir.
Okay.
Shall we? Yes. Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to call for the question, sir.
Move that we proceed to the vote and call for the question. Number 8, that was seconded. A question? Yes.
Bob Raymond, Indiana. This is merely for my own sake. And perhaps for others. If we move, if we vote now on this, what we're saying is that the presbyteries will vote, and if the 3/4 are received, then the assembly next year will vote, and it's not until then that the invitation is bona fide.
That is correct. That would be the mechanism. Shall we vote? Is there a question of order?
A point of order, Mr. Moderator.
Yes. Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, I think your clerks or whoever in front will attest that the man in the mic number 11 has been standing for some time, long before the man that called for the point of order. And I believe a man was here also long before the man stood to call for the point of order.
Call for the question. The claim is that I recognize the call for the question improperly.
Mr. Moderator, when we operate this sort of an assembly, and the only way you can come get the attention is by standing at a microphone, whoever gets the floor and calls for the question, if the House calls the question, that's done in order, even though other people are left standing. It's not a matter of disorder. It's a matter of doing it in perfectly good order.
If I didn't do it in sequence, I am sorry, but apparently not out of order, though perhaps out of sequence. The order is called, vote is called for, and it requires a two-thirds vote. Those in favor of calling the previous question, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Is that two-thirds? It takes two-thirds. Was that a two-thirds vote, do you think? I'm afraid I should ask you to stand and take at least an eyeball vote. Those in favor of the previous question, please rise. That's pretty hefty. Thank you. Those opposed, sit down. And those opposed now, please rise. I'm afraid we'll have to count on that one. Sorry. Everyone be seated, please. Those in favor of the previous question, that is cutting off debate at this point, please rise, and everybody else please sit down, and shall we be patient and have order? The pages will count. Now, if the previous question passes, we'll proceed with the vote just on number 8 as is. And if it does not pass, well, then we debate some more. The only thing I would prefer is that we have an opportunity to vote on whether or not we should delay this one here. But that's up to them. Nobody's thought of it, why it's not up to me. If you can't come to a good decision, well, you can commit or delay. Yes, that's the trouble.
In order for it to be done, that's what.
You may be seated. Yes, give him a chance to calculate. Now in a moment. Now, will those on the opposite side please rise? Those opposed the previous question? And the pages will count. This will require a two-thirds vote, as you know.
Yeah.
You may be seated.
Put the rest of that.
We're tallying the votes. Just a moment. We're also calculating percentages. It passes by two-thirds, 370 to 169. The previous question has been called for. There's no more debate. If you have a point of question or point of order, why, that's all right. But now, do you want to make a final statement? You may make a final statement. You're the only one who may.
No, sir.
There is nothing more to be said.
Number eight.
Number eight, a point of order. Dr. Pett.
Is it possible at this point to divide the question after refer to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations?
Yes, it is possible to divide the question, but not to debate either part.
That's fine,
yes.
But it might be helpful to divide that question.
At what point? The future relations?
Refer to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations and then separate that referral from the reference to the presbytery.
You all see the point. It is possible to divide at the middle of the second line and vote first on this question only, that future relations with the OPC be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations, and to vote that up or down, and then the second. Those in, clear, are voting just on that first line and a half. Those who favor future relations with the OPC to be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations, those who favor that much, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. It is passed. The second half. The second half is, and point one, yes.
Larry Edison,
number four.
Central Florida. I might be confused, but it seems as though one motion to me, did we take a vote on whether we could indeed divide it? Is that the intention of the motion here? It seems to me that to divide it into two and making it two questions, something's out of order to be able to vote like that.
I would rule otherwise. I would rule that it is possible. There are two things here. One is to be referred to the committee. Suppose you did not want to have it go to the presbytery. You could still want to go the other way. Now, you can have one or the other, and therefore... The only question, the only available, the only point you raised that I would accept would be that I said we would divide